You can follow along with a Bible found in your seat back pocket, or you can follow along the screen behind me. Now, if you're new to Scripture, if you open to the middle, you'll be in Psalms. And then find chapter 141, and you can follow along. David writes, O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call you, he prays. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds, in company with men who work iniquity, and let me not eat of their delicacies. Verse 5. Let a righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Yet my prayer is continually against their evil deeds. So, Father, we come before you fulfilling the scripture today. We come before you with lifted hands as a sacrifice. We come before you with prayer as incense being lifted up to you. We ask that you would protect our lips, and that with people here, even in this church, you would allow their words to guide our decisions by your word. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Please have your seat. If you've got your Bible, you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 25. As well, today is Philippians chapter 4, two areas of scripture. 1 Samuel 25, as we continue our study, and Philippians chapter 4. Maybe you want to take out your journal, Life Principle Today. Go ahead and write on that title top, Make the Best Decision. Make the best decision. Now, while you're looking up all that scripture and writing that down, I want to encourage you to go on a mission trip. This November, we have a trip to Mexico in Oaxaca. I had the privilege to go 2 years ago and experience how Growers First has partnered with a family there in Mexico to minister to thousands of church workers, literally thousands of workers. And whether it's a medical clinic or eyeglasses or clothes or the Word of God, we have the privilege to partner with them in order to minister. And so there's going to be a gang of people out front, right at that center table, for you to register to go on this trip. Now, this is an easy on-ramp missionary trip. I'm not asking you to Africa, okay? This one is Mexico. This is right around the corner. This is an opportunity for you to serve. And so I want to encourage you to be a part of that. So our life principle today, make the best decision. 1 Samuel chapter 25, would you look with me at verse 1? 1 Samuel chapter 25, look at verse 1. Now Samuel died. All Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah. We're going to do this study just a little bit differently today. I'm not going to read the entire chapter. I want you to read it at home and study. But in this chapter, there are two people that die. The first we hear, you know him well. We've studied him since the first of the year. His name's Samuel. He's a man of faith. So faith-filled was he that not a word that he said fell to the ground. For years, over 60, he's had a faith-filled ministry, making decisions that honor God. There's another man we're going to learn about. Oh, he dies later in this chapter. His name is Nabal. In Hebrew, oh, his name means fool. And he was a fool. You see, he spent all of his time, all of his treasure, all of his talent on himself. Truly, he was a fool. Every decision that he made was to benefit himself. He became so rich, he became so wealthy, and so powerful because every decision that he made was for him. Samuel and Nabal both lived a life and both made decisions. Samuel made decisions that honored God, and at the end of his life, as every one of us will face, at the end of his life, because he honored God, the people mourned over his death. The people actually honored him because he honored God. Nabal, oh, completely different story. We're going to learn he was completely forgotten even by his own wife. Nabal, the fool, with all of his decisions and all of his money, he lost everything in a moment. And I wonder, in Luke's gospel, chapter 12, was Jesus thinking of Nabal when he told a story? Oh, the story goes like this. There's a man and he had so much stuff that he looked at all of his stuff and he said, I'm going to build a bigger barn so that I can put more of my stuff in this barn. So he builds this barn and he looks at all of his stuff and he says, ho, I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry. And Jesus says right there in Luke's gospel, chapter 12, you fool. Don't you know that your very life will be demanded of you today? You fool? Jesus, I thought you said never to use that word. I thought you said in Matthew 5 you should never use it. Well, truly, he's calling the true fool. Someone who thinks that everything they have is just for themselves. Yes, I am sure that Jesus was thinking of Nabal the fool when he told that story. Well, in the middle of these two deaths, there's a whole chapter. And in that chapter, there's a story about life situations, about people making decisions and developing their own testimony as to what kind of testimony will we have on our last day. But this story, it's the first Romeo and Juliet ever recorded in history. This is a love story. And here's what I want you to do. You're sitting next to your spouse. Go ahead and hold their hand. Because here's what's going to happen. You're going to get, 8 o'clock didn't follow direction. They weren't up yet. You guys just went straight for it. Give yourself a hand clap. Great job. Now, those husbands who didn't grab the hand, shame on you. Here we go. This is the story of David and Abigail. David and Abigail. Two people faced with life's situations. And these life situations are causing them to make a decision. These decisions are going to produce a testimony because every decision we make has a ripple effect. Every decision. And we've got to think through all of our decisions as to what shore our decisions are going to land on so that we can make the best decision for David. Oh, David, you're going to be the king one day. Do you realize that every decision that you make today is going to impact your rule and reign? Let us look at our own culture today, going all the way back to high school and college, and how the decisions that were made are affecting people in the news today. Every decision, David, is important. And then there's Abigail. Precious Abigail. Her name in Hebrew, her father's joy. I have an Abigail. She is her father's joy. Let me tell you about my Abigail. You see, I knew her name before she came out of the womb, right? Okay, she was Abigail. We were in Africa, and we didn't want Andrea to give birth in the middle of a war. So, like Mother Mary, with a donkey on, she went through Liberia into Ivory Coast, a 24-hour journey, 9 months pregnant. She gets to Ivory Coast with Abigail still in the womb, and she gets malaria. Now, we've got to do something to save precious Abigail's life. And so they induce her there in the hospital, but we realize we've got a problem. We don't speak French, and everybody is telling us what to do, and we have no idea what they're asking us to do. So now we hear in the room next to us a French woman giving birth, throwing the IV at her doctor. And I'm like, Andrea, let's not get carried away. I mean, she is like railing. Then the doctor comes in, speaks to us in French, and I call a missionary friend of mine and I say, we can't understand a word of what's happening here. Can you please come and help us deliver this baby? She on the phone goes, I don't know how to, no, but you speak French, so come and help us out. We get in the room. This is all we hear from the doctor, okay? Abigail, mon chéri, Abigail. And she's speaking in French and talking to Abigail. And there is Abigail in my arms. Oh, she's an Abigail, her father's joy, the delight of my life, my first daughter.
Abigail. Well, this Abigail, she's going to be a queen one day. She is her father's joy. And when the heavenly father looks at Abigail, oh, I know who you're going to be, Abby. You need to make wise decisions. You are going to be queen. And Abigail finds herself in a life situation. And the life situation she finds herself in is a very bad situation. Would you look at 1 Samuel chapter 25? We're going to pick it up there in the middle of verse 1. Then David, after Samuel's death, rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. That's a big deal back then. That's a big bank account. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife, Abigail. Underline this in your Bible. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and badly behaved. He was a Calebite. And in Hebrew, what the word is saying is he acted like a dog, okay? His behavior was so bad, his character was so horrible that the Bible is referring to him like a rabid dog. But Abigail, I ask you to underline her character. That's why we named our daughter Abigail. She was discerning and she's beautiful. Discerning? Oh, discernment is the ability to make the best decision in life situations. It's having the knowledge and applying that knowledge and wisdom. Making the best decisions in life situations. Oh, you make decision after decision, and people are going to call you discerning when they see that you've made the best decision. Beautiful? Peter describes the spiritual beauty of a Christian woman. And he says, in the sight of God, beauty is a gentle and quiet spirit. I'll never forget, I was counseling a couple, not at this church, and woman walks in and she sits down and she does this and crosses her leg and she goes, I don't know why the Bible says I gotta be gentle and quiet because God didn't make me gentle and quiet. And this was my counsel to her husband. I'm praying for you. See, beauty in the sight of God is a gentle and quiet spirit. It's 1 Peter chapter 3. Well, I got a problem. If you're so discerning and so beautiful, why did you marry Nabal? Like, what was in you? That's a wrong decision. What were you thinking, Abigail, to look at Nabal the fool, even though his name, Nabal, means fool, and go ahead and marry him? Well, I need us to go back to this culture. Because I know you got to pick your husband and wife, but back in this culture, Abigail was her father's joy. And he saw Nabal. And in this culture, there's arranged marriages. And he saw Nabal as an opportunity. He saw Nabal as someone who would be able to provide for his beautiful daughter, someone who would be able to take care of her and provide for her and protect her. And so he gave Abigail to Nabal. This wasn't Abby's decision. This was her father's decision. But Abigail, she was discerning enough to know that her husband was a fool. In fact, later, we're going to read it in just a moment. In verse 25, she's talking to David, and Abigail says, listen, my husband's name is Nabal. He's a fool. I know he's a fool. She knew that her husband was a fool. She knew the situation that she was going into. But because she's beautiful, oh, that's a testimony. With the situation that she was in, she constantly made the best decision in her situation to where the community knew her as beautiful. She was gentle and she was quiet. There was no excuses like, look at my husband, that's why I'm bitter. There was no blame, look at my husband and that's why I'm not a friendly person. No, she became beautiful. She made the best decisions in her situation. Go with me to Philippians chapter 4. I want to describe her character to you. You're going to see it there in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, let me set up the scenario. There are two ladies in the church that are causing division. They're having some issues, Yodia and Syntyche. Half of the church is, I'm for Yodia. Half of the church is, I'm for Syntyche. So they get into a quarrel. Paul is trying to solve it. And so in the middle of trying to solve this potentially divisive thing, he says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And I'm going to tell you again, rejoice. In other words, you guys got your mind on the wrong thing. You're fighting with each other when you should be praising God. And then he says this, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The New King James says, let your gentleness. The King James says, let your moderation be known to all. Don't be so high you can't make a good decision, and don't be so low that you can't make a good decision. You need to let your behavior be temperate so that you can be in the right place to make the best decision. The best decision. Well, Abigail found herself in a bad situation, but she was known as beautiful. Now, let's go to David for just a moment. David also found himself in a very bad situation. Let me explain what happens in 1 Samuel 25. He decides after Samuel dies to go and take care of Nabal's sheep. It's about 100 miles away from Jerusalem, getting away from Saul, and there he is taking care of Nabal's sheep. Well, in 1 Samuel chapter 25, there's a national holiday. It's called Sheep Shearers Day. Now, I know that's not a big deal to you, but it's a big deal in Israel, okay? Sheep Shearers Day. It's kind of like Christmas and Labor Day all put into one, all right? They're celebrating the shepherds who took care of the sheep. They're shearing the sheep, and they're having a huge festival for the amount of money they're about to make on this wool that their sheep got. Well, during this time, the culture was you asked for a gift. Hey, can I have a gift? Now, I know we don't do that here in the United States of America. Well, actually, our kids do, right? At Christmas time, they come to us and say, I want this Lego, or I want this bike. I want this car with a bow on it, right? They come to us and they say, Dad, if you really want to bless me, here's how you can bless me. When we lived in Liberia, they had a cultural thing that on December 1st, if they saw you, they would say, my Christmas is on you. Well, what that means is, whatever's in your pocket has to go to them. Well, my first year in Liberia, I had $200 in my pocket. So a guy comes up to me and goes, hey, my Christmas is on you. I'm like, so what? I didn't know. He goes, no, you're supposed to put your hand in your pocket and whatever comes out, it goes to me. I knew I had 200 bucks in my pocket. So I put my hand in my one pocket and nothing came out. And I go, you see? Sorry. He goes, put your hand in the other pocket. So I pull my hand in, I pull the $200 out, and he takes it from me. So the next year, I'm smart. I know this happens on December 1st, so on November 30th, I started going to everybody, my Christmas is on you, my Christmas is on you, my Christmas is on you. And once you say it to them first, they can't say it back to you. I was supported the whole month that particular Christmas. I shouldn't tell these stories about your pastor. But here's Sheep Shearers Day, and David has 600 men, and he's been watching Nabal's sheep. So he sends a message, and he sends messengers to Nabal, and he says, hey, I know you're doing the celebration. It's that season. Could you give us a few sheep? We've been watching your sheep. We've been taking care of your sheep. Could you give us a few sheep so that we could take care of them for you? Well, Nabal, he wants nothing to do with this. And David's not asking for a handout, gang. He's worked for this. And I need to explain how he worked for it, because one of Abigail's servants comes and explains to Abigail how they worked. They were well-mannered. They worked hard. They protected them like a wall. I mean, she heard the way and the extent to the way that they worked. They were good. They were dependable. They worked really hard. Gang, in this day and age, that's a good decision. A good decision is not to expect a handout, but a good decision is to work hard for what you desire. Now, let me explain. Work is part of the perfection of creation. Now, I know in this day and age, some of us, well, we struggle with hard work. But God told Adam, tend the garden. Work was a part of creation. In fact, Paul would go a step further and say, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Work is the perfect part of God's plan for us. And David makes a wise decision. He decides to work for his keep, not just simply ask for a handout. And I want you to see, go with me to verse 10 of 1 Samuel chapter 25. He makes this a request, and Nabal responds in verse 10 and says, who is David? Who's the son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shears and give it to the men who come from? I don't even know where they come from, he says. Foolish Nabal. He selfishly and rudely responds. Listen to what he says. Who is this son of Jesse? He's just a shepherd's son. Does he know who I am? I am wealthy. I've got position, man. I've got prominence. Who does David think he is? And then he ridicules David. And he says, I know who you are. You broke away from Saul. I know what you're doing. You're trying to rebel against the kingdom. I know you, David. Who are you, you son of Jesse? Now, when David hears this, take a look at his response in verse 13. David says in verse 13, every man strap on his sword. Every man of them strapped on his sword, and David also strapped on his sword. About 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. David, wait a second. You got a guy that mocks you and offends you. You got a guy that's hurt your feelings, and now you say, let's go kill all of them. Let's just go. Let's kill every man, woman, and child. Take that sword. Put it on you, gentlemen. 400 of us. We're walking into this family, and we're going to let this family know I am the son of Jesse, and you need to know who I am. Let's go. We're going to kill these guys. Wait a second. Is this the same David who was convicted just in the last chapter about killing the man that wanted to kill him? Is this the same David that had the opportunity to kill Saul and he chose not to do it? David, why are you flying off your rocker now? Because earlier in chapter 25, you made a spiritual decision. You decided not to kill Saul. You were even convicted for thinking about it. But now you're offended? Now you're emotional? Now you're angry? And you're about to make a very bad decision, David. And let me tell you why. Because when you kill David, Saul is justified. And in your emotions and in your anger, when you go into Nabal and you kill him and all the men in his house, Saul's going to use that, put it on CNN, and say, you see, David deserves to die. He's out of control. He's an angry man. He's even killing the people of Israel. David, this is a really bad decision, bud, because here's what's going to happen, man. You're going to be the king of Israel. And this decision you're going to make is going to mar your ministry your entire life. You remember, James and John, it's Luke chapter 9. James and John, they're rejected. Their feelings are hurt by the Samaritans, okay? So they're walking through the Samaritan village, and they won't let them sleep there because they're Jews. James and John come up with a great idea. They go to Jesus, and there they are under Mount Carmel. And remember, Mount Carmel is where Elijah brought down fire and burned up all the sacrifice. So James and John go, we got an idea, Jesus. Why don't we ask for fire from heaven and burn up all these Samaritans? What do you think, Jesus? I'm sure an oy vey came out of Jesus. I am sure Jesus went like this because he looked at them and he goes, you don't know what spirit you're of. You want to make a bad decision in your emotions. So one of Nabal's employees knows what's about to happen. And he runs to Abigail because Abigail has a testimony of making the best decision in a bad situation. And he knew who to run to. So he runs to her and says, you got to know what's going on. David's coming to kill all of us. And would you pick it up with me in verse 17? This is what he says to Abigail. Now, therefore, Abigail, he's speaking to her, know this and consider what you should do. In other words, you got to make a decision. For harm is determined against our master and against all his house. And he's such a worthless man that one can't even speak to him. Abigail. We got a bad thing about to happen to us. David is on his way, and he is going to hurt us. Abigail, what decision are you going to make? And Abigail's got to make a decision. And Abigail's got to make the best decision. But because she's been making a practice of making the best decision, she's going to give us some tips on how to make the best decision. Look with me at verse 18. Then Abigail made haste. Now, I've underlined that. She took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seahs of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisin, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on donkeys. In other words, she is providing a banquet for 600 men. She said to her young men, you go before me. I'm going to come after you. But she doesn't tell Nabal. Verse 20. And as she rode on the donkey, came down under cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her and she met them. Now, David, listen how angry he is. Surely in vain have I guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him. And he's returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David and more also, if by morning I leave so much as one male of all who belong to him. Gang, David's hot. He is angry and he's about to make a bad decision. But then there's Abigail. And Abigail comes on the scene. Go back with me to verse 18. Abigail made haste. We're going to get some tips for making a good decision, for making a best decision. Number one, I want you to write it down. Be swift to make the best decision. Now, I'm not talking about being hasty. I'm not talking about like, okay, I got to make a decision and I'm going to make it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the situation that Abigail was in. Her husband has made a wrong decision and she is swift to make the best decision. Gang, let me tell you something. In life, you're going to make some wrong decisions. In life, you may even make a bad decision. In life, you're going to make decisions that could affect your life. When you realize that you've made a wrong decision, be swift to make the best decision. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, listen, if you've got a problem with your friend, don't go to court. Make haste to make it right. Make haste to make a good decision. If you've made a wrong decision and hurt your friend, then be hasty, be swift to make the best decision to win your friend back over. Be swift. Take a look, if you would, at verse 23. Abigail goes on. When Abigail saw David, she hurried. There she is. She's going to make this wrong decision right. She got down from the donkey. She fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and she said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please, let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant." Number two, write it down. If you want to make the best decision, be humble. She bows down. She comes in front of David and she bows down in humility is always the best choice to make the best decision. Gang, if you're wrong, if you've made a wrong decision, just take responsibility of it. Take the ownership of it that it was a bad decision. Don't blame others. Don't give excuses. Just go forward being swift, humbly making the best decision. She just bows down, but look what else she does in verse 25. "Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow, Nabal, for his name is so he is. Nabal's his name and folly's his game." Sorry, I added that. Folly is with him. But I, don't email me. I added it on purpose. I'm coming back to it, okay? "Folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent." Number three, write it down. You want to make the best decision? Be honest. Be honest. Just call a spade a spade. Here's what she says. "Look, I'm married to Nabal. I know he's a fool." There's honesty number one. Honesty number two. "David, I need to let you know something. I wasn't there when your men came." In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul's talking to the church and he says something so powerful. I want you to read it later. Ephesians 5, he says, "Walk in the light, you're children of light." And then he says this, "Deeds of darkness are going to be exposed anyway. Ask Adam and Eve. They thought they could hide." And let me tell you what they did. They found some dry fig leaves. You know how uncomfortable dry fig leaves are? They go and hide in a bush. They've got fig leaves on them like this. And they think they can hide from God. And there they are, kind of scratching and itching with all these fig leaves all over them. Hiding is uncomfortable for a believer. Hiding doesn't feel good for a believer because we've got the Spirit of God in us. When we choose to hide, gang, let me tell you something. He can find you. When it comes to hide and seek, he knows where you are. He knows where you are. Like when he counts to 10, he already knows where you are going. So there's no sense to hide. It's why Paul said in Ephesians 5, "Wake up, gang. When Christ shines his light on you, you can't hide." So you might as well just be honest. That'll help you make the best decision. Number four, let's see what she does. Look at verse 26. "Now then, my Lord," she says, circle this, "as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord's restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand. Now then, let your enemies And those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Verse 28, please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living in the care of the Lord your God. In other words, God got your back. And the lives of your enemies, he's going to sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he's spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, verse 31, my Lord shall have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause or for my Lord working salvation himself or trying to save yourself. And when the Lord has dealt well with you, my Lord, then remember your servant. I want you to hear the humility of Abi. 14 times, my Lord, my Lord. And I want you to write this down, number 4, be spiritual. Be spiritual. Go back with me. Look at verse 26. I asked you to circle it. The Lord sent me to protect you. You're about to make a bad decision. And the Lord has sent me. And because he sent me, I need to remind you of his word. David, you're anointed. Like God's got your back. Remember what Samuel told you? Remember the word of the Lord? Remember Samuel told you that God's going to fight your battles? Remember that Samuel told you God's got your back? Samuel, let me tell you something, man. You make this bad decision, and one bad decision could affect the rest of your life. And how many angry people, in their emotional anger, said or did something that they regret now the rest of their life? David, come on, man. I'm giving you the word of God. Be spiritual, David. David knows all this, but his emotions get the better of him. And I have found in my life, emotional decisions are usually bad decisions. When my brother, my uncle who raised me, and my dad died, all within the course of 3 months, someone came to me and said, Chet, don't make any major decisions. Wait 30 days. You're emotional. Listen, when your car breaks down, don't buy a car the next day, okay? Bad decision, because the payment of $780 plus the insurance will kill you the next month. I'm telling you, don't buy a car the next day. Sit on it 30 days. Get the car fixed. Pray about it. Ask God, what should you do? And listen, when you've had a bad day, don't go to McDonald's at midnight. Let me tell you something, bad decision, okay? Bad decision. When that food hits your stomach and then gets like Italian dressing in your veins, you will feel it 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Bad decision, okay? When you're emotional, try to wait about 30 days before you go to McDonald's and try to wait about 30 days before you buy the car. Emotional decisions can be bad decisions. And so David, you've got a choice. Abigail's come to you. You're going to make a bad decision or you're going to make the best decision? Take a look with me, verse 32. Let's pick it up from there. 1 Samuel chapter 25, David says, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion and blessed be you who's kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation or trying to save myself. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried, unless you were swift in making this right decision, and come to me truly by morning, there had not been left to Nabal so much as one male. And David received from her hand what she brought him, and David said to her, go in peace to your house. I've obeyed your voice. I've granted your petition. There you go, David. Man, I love David. And in Psalm 141, he says, the rebuke is like kindness to me. He obeyed her voice. He makes the right decision. He says, blessed be the Lord. There it is, gang. Blessed be the Lord. I've underlined that in my Bible right there in verse 32, because the best decision that you can make is the decision that God directs you in. And the life principle to make the best decision, gang, let me tell you, David makes it clear, blessed be the Lord. It's the decision that God leads you in. And I want you to see how he was led. Abigail comes with the word of God. She is leading him by the word. And when he decided to go the way of the word, there was peace. And I love that peace. And I love that peace that comes upon me from the Spirit. Because I've been in the place where I'm unsettled. I've been in the place where I've made a wrong decision and I'm not at peace. In fact, I feel like there's a war going on. I've been in the place of an emotional decision, and I've been in the place where I've got the choice. What decision will we make? Well, the result of making God's decision is the best decision, and you're going to have peace. Again, here's where we close. Abigail's had a rough day. She has had, I mean, think of her day, right? Servant comes to her, okay, we're all gonna die. So you need to make a quick decision here because David's on his way, we're gonna die. She cooks all this food all day long. She puts it on a donkey. She gets to David. David, don't kill us. I mean, think of her day. She's had a hard day at work. And she comes home. I want you to see what she comes home to. Would you look with me to verse 36? 1 Samuel chapter 25, look at verse 36. Abigail comes home to Nabal and he's holding a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. Now that this was me, right? I've had Abigail's kind of day. And I come home. And my wife is throwing a party. Like, she don't give a rip. She don't care about my day, right? And she is just wasted. Now, Andre would never be wasted, so let me move out of that scenario very quickly, okay? She's the choir director, for goodness sake. She can't be doing this, okay, with a little tipsy. So she'd fall over. So here's the deal. There's a situation. Abby's had a rough day. She comes home, and her husband doesn't care. He's throwing a party for himself. He's thinking of himself. He doesn't even know what happened. But Abigail makes the best decision. She's been making best decisions. She's got a character of beautiful. She's got a character of discernment, and she knows this is not the right time. So the next morning, after making the best decision, she tells Nabal. Nabal is struck with fear, and he has a stroke. A stroke. 10 days later, he's dead. He's gone. He's dead. And I want you to see what David says in verse 39. Blessed be the Lord who's avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal and has kept his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord's returned the evil of Nabal on his own head. Then let's look at this. Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. David makes two good decisions. The first decision he makes is, I'm not going to kill Nabal. And he realizes, I don't have to fight my battles. God will fight my battles. And then he makes another decision. I need this Abigail girl around me all the time. This girl, she is rocking. I mean, she is beautiful. She is discerning. I need this kind of woman to help me make the best decisions. And let me tell you how thankful I am that Andrea is beside me. That she, my wife, is beside me as my bride, helping me make the best decision. Because when I get emotional, she brings the word. When I want to go a different direction, she brings the word. And let me tell you, church, why I'm so thankful for Coast Hills Church. Because David is the type of Christ. And Abigail is the bride of Christ. And Abigail, the bride of Christ, comes when David has made a wrong decision, comes when David has made a bad decision. And as the bride of Christ, Abigail comes in the scene with the word of God and says, David, you're gonna make a wrong decision. And that's why I'm thankful for you guys. And that's why I pray you're thankful for me. That in our lives together, just like Abigail, we can come with the word of God. Now, I want you to see this. You're going to love this. Take a look at verse 40, and here's where we wrap up. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, David has sent to take you to him as his wife. She arose, bowed with her face to the ground, said, "Behold, your handmaid is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her five young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. Can I tell you something? This is only 10 days after Nabal's dead. She's gone. I mean, 30 days to mourn, normal in Israel. 10 days later, she's completely forgotten about Nabal. Here I am. I'll be David's wife. She ain't thinking about Nabal at all. She's out of there because she wants to be with David. Gang, Abigail is at peace. She's at peace in this decision because she's used to making the best decision. I want you to see what she does. As soon as these guys come, she's swift. My dad made a wrong decision for my life. I'm not going to live in it any longer. I'm getting to David. She is swift to correct the wrong decision and make a best decision. Listen to this. Number two, she's humble. When she sees David, she bows down. She's humble. Best decision. And then she's honest. I'll be the handmaid. You want me to serve the 600 guys? I'll do it. I know my role. I know what I'm supposed to do. And I'm going to be honest with you and say I will fulfill my role. And she's spiritual. She's her father's joy. And her heavenly father is watching this woman make the best decision and giving her heavenly father a lot of joy. Because Abigail knew the word. She knew how to apply the word. She was able to make the best decision.